Magic.
And the world of illusion.
Magic TV.
And Craig Petty. Proudly present the Talk Magic Podcast. Every week we bring you awesome interviews with the greatest magicians that have ever lived. And now, here's your host, Craig Petty.
To Magic TV. My name's Craig. It is 9 o'clock, which means it's time for a Talk Magic. And I am super excited because I have on the channel here today an incredible guest. He is one of the top mentalists, one of the top creators of mentalism, such a respected and well-renowned person, and also a really nice guy. I've been a huge fan of his work for a long time. I've reviewed a lot of his material over the years. It's always sound. It's always really, really strong. I am, of course, talking about the legend himself, Luca Volpe. How are you doing, Luca?
All good. You are too kind, my friend. You are too kind. You know that everything you say is exactly for me, also for you. I'm a fan of your work. I follow all your reviews because you are so entertaining. You're funny. You know, I cannot not watch all your videos. So it's absolutely fantastic. And of course, see, I have a green tea because it's good for you and it's good for me. So
exactly.
I always have it.
and you know what? I'm going to take this opportunity. I missed it when you first put it up, but thank you for reviewing Gossip. I really appreciate that. I only caught it recently. And, you know, you had so many nice things to say about that. And that's so nice. I mean, honestly, I've got a reputation for saying what I think. I genuinely look at you as like one of the top mentalists in the world. And for you to take something that I've released that's got kind of a mentalism sort of twinge to it, and you know the nice things that you said, that meant the world to me, more than you could possibly realize.
Yeah, no, but you know, I'm a big fan of things that you can put in your wallet, you can play easily around and stuff, and that is one of the things that is always with me in the wallet. It's, you know, it these are the things I think that the mentalism world and the magic community is missing, you know, direct and easy, simple routine that you can do anytime, anywhere, and especially from your pocket or your wallet. So it was a very good release, my friend.
Well, thank you. Well, you know what? I want to talk to you all about your life, your career and creativity and a whole bunch of different topics. But just for people who don't know who you are or might not have heard of you before, yeah, can we start at the very beginning and just very briefly go into your origin story? So What got you involved in the magic community, stroke the mentalism community? When did you get into magic? Was it a young age or was it slightly older?
Yeah, I think like a little bit everybody, you know, I was 7 years old. They gave me the famous magic box, but it was the box of Sylvan. Sylvan is a famous magician in Italy and a little bit like Paul Daniels, who was here in UK. And actually, they were a good friend. And Sylvan is still performing. I think he's almost 80 years old. He's touring all around. It's fantastic. And he did this fantastic magic box. And of course, you know, I was hooked immediately when I started to open the book and read all the secrets. And from them, you know, the love for magic was born. And then slowly, I read a lot. I have more than 500 books between magic and mentalism. It's my library in Italy, not here in UK. It's huge. In fact, I need to buy a new house in UK just to bring all the books out of in Italy. So yeah, it's crazy. So, but I was very, very, I actually read everything, even magic with K, like occult magic, everything, because my passion for the mystery art is huge and continues today. You know, I still buy books and everything I can of any kind of genre of magic. And but a lot of these books, the majority of it was mentalism. The problem is that mentalism, I think, is the kind of art that you need to start to perform when you have quite a lot of experience in audience management, you know, magic in general, audience and shows, live shows, because it needs to be, it's more a mature way to perform magic, I mean, mentalism, you know. So I see now today, you know, many young people that they buy the latest electronic mentalist gadget, and the day after they promote themselves as a mentalist. So there is a big difference, because I think a proper mentalist, if you want to call yourself mentalist, you need to study. You know, you really need to spend your time on books, not even DVD, like, you know, the very old school things, because also I think books not only will help you to learn from a different perspective, but also will help you to create your own persona. Because the problem is today, when you look at another mentalist, like, let's say, Darren Brown, you know, everybody wants to be Darren Brown. Everybody starts to talk as Darren Brown, start to move Darren Brown. They prepare the show, they do routine like Darren Brown. So that's is good for, you know, empowering yourself and say, okay, I want to be like him. I want to do it good. But at the same time, it can be dangerous, because it can easily be, you know, you can become a copy. I understand at the beginning, when we all started, we all wanted to be David Copperfield. You know, I remember when I started, because I did like illusion shows. I even did it. I had a, Craig, that was crazy. I had 150,000 euro worth of illusions.
Wow.
It was all illusion original from Las Vegas, built by Bill Smith, Mike Michaels. I had an incredible illusion show that I had on the cruise ships, because I did for 13 years cruise ships. And I was doing illusion shows, and then in the middle of the week, mentalism. But at the end of the week, everybody was talking about the mentalism show, not because the illusion show wasn't good, but because mentalism is one of the things that make the people think. You know, when you look at magic show, or especially an illusion show, you say, oh, wow, you know, I had a motorbike floating in midair and disappearing in midair. It was huge, beautiful. But then in that moment, you see it, beautiful, you know, fantastic show. But then you kind of forget it or say, oh, that was great. But mentalism, the things that make you think is, oh, wait a second, is this guy, you know, doing for real or whatever? So, you know, I always been passionate in mentalism, always been studying mentalism, but I never, you know, I started with magic because I thought, you know, as I, maybe I'm not mature enough to actually perform a mentalism. So I took my time, I studied, you know, I learned properly mentalism, and now, you know, I'm performing like from 20 years mentalism, and I've started my first show when I was 12, magic show, and now I'm a 30, no, not 30, I'm 48 in April. So you can understand, it's quite a long time I performed. So hope I covered a little bit your question.
Yeah, I mean, you did. So at what point, so you started performing when you were 12 years old.
Yeah.
And you said that you ended up working on the ships for 13 years.
Yes.
At what point did you start to dabble in mentalism professionally? Because obviously when you first started, you would have done magic all the time through the cruises, you would have done magic, but you also had that mentalism show. When did you start to gravitate towards mentalism and away from magic?
Well, I think about around the when I was 30 mm-hmm. years old, because after like 18 years of magic and experience with the audience and stuff, I started more to concentrate on mentally, but I never left magic. In fact, when I was on the cruise ship, I still was doing, you know, illusion show and stuff, because there was this big request, and also, you know, it was paying quite well and things. So having two different shows, it was quite good. But my passion was there. I never forget when I told my wife once, because I met my wife on the cruise ship, she was a dancer. And I remember when I said to Rebecca, she wasn't my wife yet, and I said, look, this, I remember when I placed the illusion in the fly case, was almost the end of the season, said, you see, this is the last season I put this illusion in the fly case. That's it. I don't want to do illusion anymore. But not because I didn't like it, because it wasn't me. You know, I felt like this big call in being a Mr. Entertainer, because, you know, I've been working with Kenton Nepper in the beginning of the Secret School. Me, Kenton, Peter Turner, Fraser Parker, we literally built that school and work with Kenton in really kind of a borderline mentalism. It was only psychic, you know. Kenton is like the wizard, we call him, you know. And so all my passion, you know, working with Jeremy Finley, you know, very borderline shamanism stuff and thing. So my call was there, you know, I want to do that. And then at one point I say, that's it with magic, that's it with mentoring. I still do some magic for myself. You know, I still buy some magic book in Christmas. That's a typical. I buy some magic book. This book I brought Stage by Stage. You know, the book, I think, I don't know if you review that. It's quite an interesting book, but it's all magic. I also brought, my wife gave me the latest book from Copperfield, The Story of Magic. You know, I still enjoy reading and learning some magic with cards and stuff, but I do for myself, really. But what, you know, now me, it's just mentalism and mind stuff. That's what I'm really passionate about.
Was it difficult to rebrand from being a magician to being a mentalist? How did that process go? Because, you know, you've spent all of your time and all of your energy building up your brand and your character and your advertising as a magician. And then you kind of go, well, you know what? I'm not going to do that illusion act anymore. I'm flight casing this up and I'm done. You've then almost got to start again because a lot of, you know, was that a difficult process?
Was incredibly difficult and complicated. First, because you have completely changed, it's like starting a new life. You know, you need to completely delete the past without, of course, regret it. I don't regret anything. I think, actually, I think it's very good the process that I did because, you know, when you do illusion show, you learn about light, sounds, music, and everything, which it's really helpful when you do a theater mentalism show because you can kind of blend the knowledge that you have in all these technical things with mentalism, which is really helpful. You know, if you start just as a mentalism or close-up magician and you immediately go on the theater, that's a big, big, you know, it's a big things to overcome. But when you come from that school, it's easy. So I had to delete everything about me as a magician and illusionist. So, you know, all the videos on YouTube, all the promo material, all the printing material, pictures, everything, the branding was completely gone as a magician. So I worked on my brand with a group of creative people that I still work with them when we do consulting for other mentalists, because, you know, I do my mentalism consulting program and stuff. And so I rebrand completely myself. I kind of, you know, it's, I'm going to say, took what everything I've inside as my persona, my personality, and actually making it more, you know, exasperating my personality. So my brand is like the Italian mentalist. So everything is Italian, my way to talk, you know, sometimes I even play a little bit more, you know, as a mentalist and stuff. And I try to push my brand as a mentalist in the Italian way. So, you know, a little bit you know, cheeky Italian style, elegant and playful and stuff like this, playing around these ideas. And thankfully, you know, when I started, I immediately got, you know, the copyright and the name on you know, on Google and the website and everything, the Italian mentalist, mentalista italiano, all these kind of things. Try to get that brand before anyone else. And thankfully, we weren't much mentalist in Italy when I started professionally. You know, at the moment, I think we are only 4 or 5 professional mentalists in Italy. There are not many. I mean, with 60 million people, it's quite good. Not like in UK, you get quite many. Mm-hmm. And so at the beginning, it was quite easy to go and take that piece of marketplace, which I think it was quite important. So it was difficult. It was difficult because you kind of, again, contact all the agencies and prepare a new promo, do a lot of shows. I remember I was using my mentalism show on the cruise ship to create my new promo. In fact, my first promo, mentalist promo, they were all from the cruise ships because I didn't have any other gigs as a mentalist. So I had to use... you know, the videos from the cruise ships. And then eventually, you know, I started to work a lot with corporate clients, and then, you know, I fly all around the world and start to get very good material. And then eventually, and then there was some TV shows I did. So I started to push on this brand, and now that's it. Now we're done. But there is always a lot of work to do and keep doing. So,
well, I mean, here's a question for you. You rebrand as a mentalist,
yeah,
and you go through that very difficult procedure. One thing that I've noticed about you as a performer is that you stand out. And what I mean by that is I look at a lot of other mentalists all over the world, and they're either a clone of Derren Brown, or they're a clone of Max Maven, or somewhere in between, both in terms of style, character,
yeah,
trick selection, absolutely everything. Whilst you are very unique, and you obviously have your own style that's not one person or another person's. It's perfectly you. For anyone watching this that's a mentalist, that's struggling to create a unique persona that people can buy into, how did you, because there's only certain things that you can do in mentalism. How do you make your character completely unique and not try to kind of tread on other toes? Do you know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, I always say to people, look yourself in the mirror, mm-hmm, and write down all your unique characteristics, because we are all unique. Now, you know, in the way we wear, the way we talk, the way we engage with people, write everything down, everything. And then take some of the most unusual things or most unique things of you and exasperate them, create the persona around them, and you will be unique. Because the idea is to actually be you, but not a normal you, a little bit more, you know, show business of you. You know what I mean? So I think we all can be unique, but we need to work on ourselves. And then we will go back to the things we were saying before. It's very important to look less other performers, watch less other performers, but not, you know, or maybe watching them, but not with the idea of say, oh, I want to do that, or I want to be like him, you know, but seeing them as a lesson and say, okay, how he's doing it, why he talk like this, what his background, you know. For example, I've studied also, I have two masters in neuro-linguistic programming. I've done, because I do some, you know, for corporate and companies, I do some talks about, you know, how to influence people and stuff like this. But I never used NLP like Derren Brown does on the show, you know, because he really pushed on that. Because I want to be myself. And I've used, in a way, as a Luca Volpe and not as a Derren Brown.
Yeah.
So I think at the end, the secret is just look in your mirror, write down all your features, but anything, you know, physical and everything you can write, the way, you know, your passion. Also, this is important. I remember doing a consulting for a guy. I just finished a consulting for a guy in Switzerland, and he was struggling because he said, I have no idea who I am. And I said, look, okay, let's work together. What do you like? Which is your passion? He said, oh, you know, I've done some martial arts. I really like Asian, you know, ideology or something. I said, okay, good. Let's work on that. How we can blend your passion with your personality. And eventually with my graphic designer and stuff, we prepared for him an incredible branding. Even the clothes I choose for him, you know, because this he likes red and black. So we come up with a beautiful, you know, combination of these two colors. And my friend, graphic designer, he created a fantastic logo for him, because that's what we do, you know, in this consulting and stuff. I prepared the show for him, blending also some martial art in the mentalism show. And now it's unique. And all came up with a simple question. What are your passions? What do you like?
That's great.
You know, so, and again, if you like, I don't know, baking cakes, it will be the place that you can do something with it, you know? So that's what I mean. You know, there was another guy in America did the consulting. He says, oh, I do a routine where I do, you know, the how you call the razor blade, you know, that you put with a thread and stuff like that. And they say, what I do normally, I just put the razor blade on a nipple. Say, stop like this. Stop. Let's work. And we prepare all the show around that nipple. That is, you know, that's the thing. When there is one thing that you say, okay, that's it. Let's use it. And let's create the persona. Now, as you know, it's working. It's doing another guy again from America. He is a doctor. So we blend together his knowledge as a doctor with a mentalism show. It came up something really cool. So again, just see yourself, write down your passion and find that unique piece of you in that thing that you wrote down and work on it. I think that's can be probably the best advice I can give.
That's fantastic advice. It really is. Let me ask you one other question. I see that behind you, you have a Rubik's wall by Bonley, which is an incredible product. I said it was one of the best tricks of 2021.
Yeah.
A lot of people look at that as a magic trick. But I know that you would not present that as a magic trick.
No.
But one thing that I've noticed that you do is you take things that people would consider to be magic tricks and you manage to turn them into a mentalism piece, which opens the doors up when it comes to trick selection and possibilities, because now you're not just relying on billets, and business cards and torn up pieces of paper. Now you're able to take, you know, something like that that will play to a much bigger audience. And so how do you do that? How would you take, and you don't have to use that as I'm not asking for your routine, but.
I will tell you one of the uses that I'm going to do with this. So first of all, answering your question, then I, you know, talk about the routine. I always see everything as a potential routine that I can do. Not of course everything, but you know, I don't see the egg trick as a potential routine I can do in my mentality. So even if with some thoughts, it can be, you know, you can apply that. But I always say, you know, why be so fixated on one single thing? No, Rubik's Cube has to do with memory, with mind. So why not to use, for example, I used in my show, the Venom Cube. I think Harry is a good friend of mine. And I think he's also a good friend of yours. Mm. That Venom Cube, it was like, man, that it literally killed the people. Every time I do that thing, you know, I do on stage show, with a blending with other situations and stuff, and it's crazy. Now I brought this because you say, okay, that can be good. And I always start saying, you know, probably you, and one more thing, just before I say that, you also now, especially now, you need to think of a routine that you can do online. And this is perfect to do online because I actually tell the people I ask them how I need to mix some of the cubes and they tell me how to move around. And I start saying, you know, today we're going to create art, but not with our hands, but with our minds. And so I start like this. And then, you know, there is a choice of, you know, the superhero and then ask them to remove the cube. Which cube do you want? And mix them up. You put it back. Do you want to switch? And then you have the big reveal. And that for me, it's not magic. It's a kind of, it's impossible. Now, I'm not saying mentalism, I'm not saying magic, but it's that impossible thing that in a show will work great. For example, another idea I can give you for this, because I know you do also a lot of live shows and stuff, and all the people that are watching this, imagine this. You start your theater show and only 24 people in the audience, they find all, or maybe all the audience, and then you just randomly choose 24 of them, they have all Rubik's Cube. And then a voice out of the stage says, hello, ladies and gentlemen, you got Rubik's Cube. Before the show started, you have 1 minute to mix your cube. Boom. The light goes on, you know, on the stage, you see the screen, doop, 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 and everybody got crazy. They need to mix the Rubik's Cube. And then, in the voice, you say, once you've done, please, go on top of the stage and leave the Rubik's Cube on the big table. So, you know, everybody, all 24 people, they leave the Rubik's Cube on the table. You go on stage, you start to do your show, and between tricks, between one trick and another one, or before the people go on stage, you say, oh, by the way, before you go, where you want that, can you place this cube in anywhere you like, or where you want that? Now, at the end of the show, you basically, you have this callback every time and the people don't know what you're doing. Maybe then during the show, you kind of, you know, make the people choose whatever they want to choose. And then this can be an extra reveal. Like you end the show, let's say you end the show with a big prediction. You say, everybody, oh, goodbye, go now, oh, wait. Oh, well, you know, during the show, we build this wall here, Rubik's Cube. Oh, by the way, what was the superhero that you chose that I didn't guess, for example, during the show? Superman, boom, you turn this, bang, and you have this callback, like extra ending of the show, which is a killer. Nobody expected it. And actually the people see building this Rubik's Cube wall without any meaning, really. You just say, yo, put the cube wherever you want. And then you have this big ending at the end of the show. So that's how, you know, you need to kind of think, thank God, you know, my creative juice keep flowing. And that's important. But I think you need to take a trick and say, okay, look at it, just stare at it, and imagine how you can use it, you know, in any possible way. And eventually, you know, you'll find a solution.
That's really good advice again. Oh, that's amazing. Let me ask you a question, Luca. Yeah. When did you start creating mentalism? Because obviously, as well as being an incredible performer, we also know you as a creator. Did that happen while you were still doing magic, or did you become a mentalist? And okay, so while you were performing, you tell me, what made you want to start creating magic? Because you're performing illusion shows, cruises, that's like the holy grail for a lot of performers. You know, you're performing at a high level. What made you want to start sharing your routines with the magic community?
Well, so it started, you do not believe this, but I remember when I started my first show, I was 12, it was a magic show. I was creating mentalism without knowing about mentalism. I'm not kidding. I was using the beef tube, you know, when normally we put a banknote that appears, where I was predicting what a guy was wearing during the show. It was like a nonsense prediction. It was literally means nothing. But I say, you know, that can be cool. If I, you know, I heard about this prediction thing when I was reading the mentalism stuff on the little magic booklet. But I would say, oh, that would be nice to predict how. So, and then I start to come out and say, oh, what I can use? And I used the beer tube, but that was the only thing I had, like, you know, at home. And so I always thought mentalism in a creative way. In fact, most of my first mentalism routine, before even I had all the books and study from that, there was just coming, you know, using typical magic objects like boxes and other tools. But then also reading the basic like Hahnemann, you know, and the other one, and come up with ideas reading the basics. This is why I always say, you know, reading is really important, because there are so many hidden gems inside these old books, like Magic of Bascom Jones. There are volumes of full of things, you know, that literally you can take one of the, you can actually perform them. And some of my old releases and things I explain in the lecture, they actually come from these old books, because you can really find a lot of stuff there. So then I started to write books. Now, the first book that literally pushed a little bit my name in the magic mentalist community was Emotional Mentalism, because I always seen mentalism as an emotional connection with the audience. And then, you know, working with Kenton, I was already sharing my idea, you know, on this topic. And then eventually I wrote three volumes of Emotional Mentalism. And at the moment I've wrote 22 books for mentalism, for the mentalist community, and all original material. I have like many was like limited release books, only few people has on my full routines. Then I have a book on question and answers, you know, Total Mentalism is a book all about doing a full mentalism show that fits in a little box and you can carry it with you anywhere. So I don't know how, you know, it's very difficult to say how you can create and how you started to write stuff. It's just, you know, maybe, I don't know, like a gift of the universe. I have no idea, but it's something that just pop in my mind. I started the process thinking of, okay, what I want to achieve, or what I want emotionally create in the audience in order to achieve that. For example, there are very simple things like The White Rose was a limited release book I did, only 150 copies was, and sold out like in a week or something. And actually was the quickest sold out in Stephen's Magic ever. You know, I remember when Stephen's Magic had that book, they actually said, look, it's never happened in all the history of Stephen's Magic that the book sold out in so quick. It was unbelievable. So that was, you know, it's all about one white rose and one red envelope, and everything is there. It's like a message that the people will only read when the last petal of the rose will fall. That was my concept. And around that concept, I built a beautiful show. And that, you know, only the people who has that book knows what is written in that envelope. So, it really, really special. And again, all start with what I want to achieve and which kind of emotional keys I want to touch, you know?
It's wow. Again, this, I hope people that are watching this are understanding that this is an absolute masterclass.
Oh, thank you, man.
It really is, honestly. It really, really is. Do you have any advice? There's two things I want to ask you about creating. And the first one is, do you have any advice when it comes to publishing material? And the reason I ask that is you've published so much material over your career. Sometimes you've done it through various different companies. A lot of time it's self-published through your own company. Yeah. A lot of magicians at Mentalist that come into magic, they want to be a creator. That's their ultimate goal. We put creators on pedestals, you know, and it's kind of like that's the goal for a lot of people. Do you have any advice on people that are coming that are in the industry that want to create and release their own products? As somebody who's done this so well to such a very high level.
So, first of all, thank you. Very kind. So, first of all, is when you release something, perform it first. This is the most important thing. You see, I work with Paul McKay, and by the way, thank you very much for your review about the Mind Crosset. It's really appreciated.
Oh, right. Yes.
You know, Paul and Alan Wong, I have this team of people working with me. And so when I have an idea, I share with them. You know, Alan, you know, he's able to build anything. With Paul, we have this, we share idea. And then I have the great support from Murphy's Magic. From many years, beautiful people that are, you know, we're very good friends and they're part of the family, really. And I have to say that without working with, first of all, I say, try your stuff, you know, like with the TBC box. Now, the TBC box is a box that we know what it does. And I created that when I was on cruise ship. And the funny thing is that I created a very raw version of it. And I worked so much with that I knew that there was the one of a kind box of that type that can do things that not other boxes can do. And it's a really useful tool. And I remember when I released a private releases with Paul, and I tell you, like Luke Germain, Colin Cloud, Keith Barry, big names Mentalist, they've been using that. I think Darren Brown also has one. You know, it really was not innovative things, but why? Because what I put everything I know about it, you know, all the uses I did, all the routines in the booklet, everything. That thing only, that object, it was like years of work on it. So every time I do a release with Paul, with Alan, it's never something that has not been tried before. You know, even the mindset pro, I had like, and I still have here, cardboard set done by me using online and or with people to test how was the, and I say, okay, let's put all the set together now that we know everything, how it works, but of course with good material or in plastic and stuff. So, and also we always try to keep our level, both in quality, in packaging, you know, very high.
Yeah.
We never release anything that I never tried before, and that is not how we really want it. Because, you know, sometimes even in the little zipper inside the TBC box, we changed three of them because I wasn't happy with the color. I wasn't happy with the position. We really look at everything we can in order to bring out good material. So first thing, try everything you want to release. Don't release just because you want your name out there or because you want to make some quick money. And actually, this is a big mistake, because if you get someone like Craig that put in the bin your release, you don't sell anymore. So, and you lose your name on the community. So you need to try everything, check the material. And also one important thing, Craig, they need to do their research, because, you know, it's almost everything has been invented. So every time you have an idea, call the people that knows more about you and say, look, I have come up with this method, this move. Do you know anything about it? We need to give credit to anyone? You know, because even if you use another method in your release, why not to call and ask and say, look, I'm going to do the release. Do you mind if can I credit you? Fine. No, I remember I was releasing something which I didn't know Michael Weber or actually did already before. And I immediately knew it, but I have a great respect for Michael. We are a good friend. He's, you know, he's a genius. And every time he's opening his mouth, you know, it's like gold pouring from his mouth. Yeah. So as soon as I knew that, I said, you know, we were going to produce it. I immediately removed from the producing circle, losing money from it, but just because I know it was Michael, that's it. We don't do anymore.
Whoa, that's a difficult decision to make, right?
Yeah, it's a difficult decision to make, but the money, I always think the money you lose in that moment are the money you will make double after it when you do another release. Because first of all, you get respect in the community, and that's very important, because you respect others. And that's a very important point. You know, respecting others in the community is so important, because otherwise, you know, people will start, this guy just copy that, they don't ask this, don't ask that, you know, and the people start to look you in a different light. And so this is not good. So this is why always do your research, try everything you can, and check your material before you do anything.
Wow. Again, great advice. Really, really is. And in terms of creativity, you've spoken about creativity, you've spoken about publishing.
Yeah.
Where do you get your ideas from? That's the big problem that a lot of people have. Inspiration, finding that initial spark. Yeah, I spoke to a quite well-known creator a couple of weeks ago, yeah, and who hadn't released anything in years. And he said, oh, I've just had mental block. Like, I just sit there and I just can't think of anything. As somebody who's released so much magic, do you struggle for that, to find that inspiration? Or do you ever worry that you've run out of ideas and the well has run deep? Or do you have a method for creating sort of inspiration out of nowhere?
Yes. Okay. So I scare like all the creators. You know, I always say, look, I don't want to lose my creative juice. You know, that's what makes us creative. And you know, that's very important. But I always also see, and I say, okay, what I really need, you know, what the people ask, what the marketplace needs, which I can actually give value, you know, what kind of value I can give to the marketplace, to the mentalist community, what the people need, what are the problem, and how I can solve them. So, well, for example, the TBC box again, all the box does what the TBC box does, not the TBC, what the normal boxes, I can't, because this goes on YouTube, so I need to know how to say. Mm-hmm. But there are some boxes that does something, that they always do the same thing, okay? So I say, can I do something with that kind of concept that will solve me other problems? I find a way, and eventually I created something unique. You know, that box is the only kind of box that does that kind of things that you cannot do with the other boxes. So that was a problem. So it was everything, the idea born, it was born from a problem. So I analyzed problems and I said, okay, how can I solve them, creating something new? Then how I can create something that does not exist? Well, that is complicated to explain for the simple reason that sometimes it just happens. You know, and kind of, for example, my book Shabara, which is a story, is a very strange book. It actually, I dreamt everything. You will not believe that. I dreamt the name, I dreamt the routines, I dreamt everything. So that is a book, is a story, is a storybook with material that the people can perform. There is a fantastic routine, which is literally you finding like the only signed rose petal in a bowl full of rose petal, the only signed one. It's fun, it's crazy, but you know, that thing, it doesn't, I haven't seen anywhere else. It just popped into my mind. So, but there are ways to stimulate your creativity. And I know that now you say, okay, but what this means, but let me give you some, what I do and what I think that people can actually get from it. So first of all, using days where, first of all, you don't need to sit down and say, okay, today I want to create a new routine. That will never happen, okay? So what instead is important is to actually say, okay, today I want to dedicate myself to free my mind and to let thoughts flow in my brain. And I do this eating well, with exercise, and with meditation. I know that looks like you say, okay, well, what this means with that? But instead helps, because when your mind is empty of worrying and problems and tasks to do it and things to do it, you actually let your mind flow better. And trust me, if you sit and think and just relax, thoughts, they come to flow in your mind. And you start to actually have a flash of things. And for example, I just lately, I had an idea of a very old magic trick that has not been redone. Mm-hmm. And I talk with Paul and I say, Paul, can we actually come up with a story around that and bring this old tool in a new way with new material and stuff? So eventually we come up with a new idea. Like Renato Cotini called me a few days ago and he said, oh, you know, I find a very old video, like a counting sequence with the cards. Can we do something with that? And talking, because that's another important thing in the creation part, and I'll tell you in a second. Talking with him, we come up with a beautiful packet trick, which will be released eventually once we have tried some time. And it's really cool because we created the story around it. He's now creating the graphic. But again, we want to test it a little bit, you know, both live and online. And then once we know that works, we will call Murphy and we will pitch the idea. But that's what I was saying. Try to do a lot of brainstorming. This is really, really important. Talk with other creators, you know, because creativity and new ideas, they will come. And sometimes you need the help of someone else, but just talking, you know, maybe now me and Craig, we can just take, I don't know, a move in cards or with billets and we say, oh, wow, that's good. Or what we can do with that? Oh, can we do this or can we do that? That's it, how things come up, you know? So don't stay there and think, oh, okay, I need to create something new, but let your mind flow, take your time, take some days to purify yourself, I mean, in every sense, and just relax. And you will see that sooner or later, and again, try to write down all the problems that people in the business has. For example, I don't know, it can be, oh, I want to create a special folding table for mentalists because every time I go to work, I have this problem, for example. Okay, I'm just giving you, saying things like this. Or I don't know, I want to create a wallet that does multiple things. For example, the Fox, when I released the Fox. The Fox was my problem because I say, oh, I want to be able to travel all around the world with one thing in my pocket, and I want to do a full 45 stage show. That was my initial concept. I had no other ideas. Then I actually took a piece of paper and I did the Fox in cardboard. I called Anna Wong. I said, Anna, this, can you do that? Yes, we can do that. But we need to also put together all tricks where the people just take this from the pocket and they can perform. So we also design and print everything. And now let me tell you something. This is something that is happening. We are working on the Fox 2.0, which will have an incredible material, long-lasting material, and even more routines inside. So now I think the people will arrive at about 70 minutes show with all the stuff we are including.
Wow. Yes. That's incredible.
It's crazy. We're working, it cost crazy money to do it, but it will be well. And the people that already has the Fox, you know, they will appreciate this new version and the extra routines inside and stuff. So and that's why that was born from a problem. You know, I had a problem and I solved. So that can be another exercise you can do. Write down what is your problem or what, you know, mentalist or magician needs, and then you find a solution.
Perfect. Absolutely perfect. One other question. This is something that I tend to find divides mentalists right down the middle, which is propless mentalism. Now, it's become, ever since Pete Turner has really kind of led from the front with that, and then Michael Murray has kind of put a lot of thought into it as well. Propless mentalism has become like the new buzz thing amongst mentalists. I know that I know that a lot of the stuff that you do uses props. Where do you fall on the whole propless mentalism thing? I've spoken to mentalists like Alexander Marsh, who's very outgoing and basically says to me, it's guesswork. It's you know, if I'm going on stage, I want to have my props with me because I owe it to my audience to do the best possible job I can do. And then you have people like Pete Turner that go, no, I can create miracles with nothing more but my mind. So where do you fall with this?
Look, I am a professional performer. Okay, the people pay me to perform. And if I go to a gig where I get thousands of euros, I want to make sure that I perform my show how it should be. I don't want to guess anything. And if I make a mistake, that mistake has to be calculated because they need to give me like a callback or anything else in the show. That's my idea. You know, the propless mentalism is fun, is a good things to do. It's a good things to learn because I think we all learn to learn everything, okay? And there are some good ideas. For example, if you see Orion from Fedon Bilek, Orion is a beautiful, you know, there are fantastic concepts there, which are really useful and they really works, like some of the Peter Turner's things they also did. And some others, you need to take chance. Now, I don't like to take chance. You know, if the people pay me, they need to see the show. That's it. You know, I don't want to take any chance. And if I want to use some of the thing, maybe I can use some during the routine. For example, let's say I know one of your information, okay? I know the name of the person you're thinking. So I can use maybe some propless techniques that I can fit in the middle to enhance the routine if they work. But if not, I know that I will finish in the right way because I have the revelation that will close the act. But I don't want to go on stage and say, okay, think your star sign. There's a T in the middle. No, okay. There is a G, right? No, okay. So just, you know, just think about it. You know, I don't like to do that. So if I want to, again, make a mistake, I need to act well and use that mistake on my advantage. I just don't want to go there and guess. There are some very solid and valid ideas. You know, Fraser Parker did some, you know, they do good work, Peter and Faden. There are some good ideas, but I think you need to know how to work with them. Yeah. So if you know this, fine, you know, you can use anything you want. But as a professional performer, honestly, I'm not going to guess on stage. I just want to do my job.
Amazing. Totally agree with you, by the way. Yeah, completely 100%. Out of everything that you've created, what would you say is your favorite trick? So, but what I'm basically saying is that there's going to be people watching this that have never tried any of your material. Yeah. They maybe haven't seen any of the stuff that you've done before, but they're into mentalism. I have a lot of new people on this channel that are new into magic, new into mentalism. Yeah. But people that are watching this that have loved listening to you and they want to delve into some of your material, where would be a good jumping on place to start? Where, what products would you suggest somebody new to Luca Volpe would be best to start off with? And are those your favorite creations, or are there other stuff that you've created that you...
Okay, if as a suggestion for the people that maybe want to start to, you know, to know me, if they don't have my material and they don't know my kind of things, I think more than a product is a book, which is Total Mentalism. And I tell you why. Because Total Mentalism, it covers, like it says on the title, kind of not everything, but it gives you a very solid base on business, on entertaining and mentalism, how to stage mentalism, and it also cover your full 40-minute show that you can perform out from a box. And that, I think, is the best product, if you want to call a product, I suggest, because it gives a little bit of my vision, you know, like a total vision of mentalism, and it's not very niche specific, like emotional mentalism, which is more like on the psychic side of mentalism. So I think Total Mentalism is, and by the way, you can find it every shop or my Lulu page. If you go on Lulu and you write Luca Volpe, you can find all the books. And there, you know, there are different books. And especially that one, I think, is a good place to start because it gives a little bit of my full vision of mentalism. Then, as a, my favorite products, that's difficult because you know, I'm fighting between the TBC box and the Fox. but I think the two together, they work very well together. So yeah, I think the Fox and the TBC box would be my favorite one. But to be honest, you know, I always try to have every time a favorite one, and I tell you why, because when you have a favorite, when you work always on your favorite one, you know that it's done with all your heart and with all your passion. And you know that when you share it, the people will love this because they can feel it. So if I say, oh, I don't like that product, it probably means that I've done just to make some money. But when you do everything and you think that everything is your best piece of mentalism, every time the people will feel it and will appreciate it. You know, it's like we say, you know, live every day as the last day of your life. And I always say, create every, you know, release as your last release. So it always needs to be the best of the release that you can do it, even if you, you know, you will do more in the future. But always think that it's your last release. So you want to give the best of yourself.
That's really good advice for any creator. That's fantastic.
Thank you.
Now I know that you're nowhere near releasing your last product, though. You've mentioned a couple of things that you've got coming up. Is there anything else, like 2022 or at the start of 2022?
Yeah.
Are there any particular projects? I know that some of this stuff is going to be shrouded in secrecy, but is there anything that you can share with us that's coming up this year that we should get excited about?
Yes, there is. Well, of course, the Fox 2.0, which is beautiful.
When would that be coming out?
Well, we're still in the processing of making, you know, with the new leather and stuff, all the, you know, better than me, that takes time for this kind of stuff. But it will take some months. But we are working now on, and I tell you, I can tell you this, my super favorite opener routine, which is the Lucky Envelope, which has a new New Life, because it will also be added something that I use in Penn and Teller Full Us. So we blend all these two things together to create the very full opening routine. I've been using the Lucky Envelopes on stage and cruise ship for years on an online show. So it's a really, really overworked routine. And it's super easy to do. It's, you know, it works. That's one of the real worker that will be out this year. And then we have another classic reimagined, which is fantastic, but I cannot tell you more. And then I'm actually working with Paul right now on another big secret things. it's really good. You know, it's another classic. You know, there are so many good classic things in mentalism and in magic that we completely forgot. So sometimes I say, okay, can we do a lot more with it? So the next release after the Lucky Envelopes, and by the way, the Lucky Envelopes will be done with good material, you know, everything will be top-notch as always. But the next one, we actually talk the basic concept and we give a completely new life in methodology, in material. And as always, you know, we also take care of the actual packaging. I know that people say, oh, well, why don't you just squeeze inside a bag? Well, that's important too, because I think the experience needs to be complete. You know, you need to get a package, you need to look at it, and you need to enjoy even in opening the packaging, because it's all part of the experience. So, you know, this is why it takes time, you know, especially with the Fox, because we need to put together all the single parts. You know, the same thing with the mind process. You said every single packet trick is inside a little container and then the zipper bag, you know, because we can easily put everything in a plastic bag. But we wanted to give them little things more, you know, even the logo on the tag of the bag. So,
but I think people appreciate that quality.
Thank you, man.
I really do think people appreciate their quality. And you mentioned there, I want to bring this up very quickly as well. You mentioned Penn and Teller Fool Us.
Yes.
Which you did brilliantly, but also you've been on TV a lot. Like, you've done quite a lot of TV appearances over the years, not just Penn and Teller, but a lot of things in Italy. And before the cameras started rolling, we were talking a little bit about your TV appearances.
Yeah.
Is there anything that you, any advice that you can give people watching this, that, you know, that want to get on TV and they want to be able to do what you've done throughout your career? Is there any advice that you can give with that?
Well, being on TV is not easy, not just because you cannot go in TV, because there are many, many situations that you need to go through. But you need to pay really attention in not screw up with the first TV appearance. And I mean with that TV world and performing in TV has a completely different timing and, you know, process than performing on theater, on close-up or wherever. You know, TV is very quick. It's not only you. You have in front of you people telling you 2 minutes, 30 seconds or whatever. They distract you all the time. So my best advice is to prepare a series of routines which are direct to the point with the minimal process as possible. Because that's what TV wants. TV is very quick. People have no time to follow a long process. Like, okay, do 12 packets, do 2 packets of cards, divide the then number by 3 and go put the cards from top to the bottom. That will never work. You know, so when you work on TV, you know, Craig, because you do a lot of commercial stuff, you know very well what I mean about. And you need to be quick to the point, prepare a series of routine, and then maybe you do your audition for the TV, because they want to see quick stuff. They want to see the most commercial things you have. And I know a lot of people, I was talking with a bizarre mentalist friends, and they said, look, you know, I would like to go on TV. And so I said, look, you know what? You need to change your stuff. Because if you want to go on TV talking about dead people and ghosts, all these kind of things for 5 minutes and do 30 second routine, forget it. You know, as long you are maybe in a specific TV show, that is the concept, fine. But because it's not, you know, today's like afternoon show, morning show, you want to rock. Soon you go there with a quick and to the point. I just recently, before Christmas, did my TV appearance as a in prime time on Rai Uno, which is a national TV show in Italy, which is a program that is followed by 6 million people every evening as a big show. And I did my Icon, you know, the one I did with John Morton, and it flowed really well. It was entertaining, it was fun, it was quick. That's what you want. You know, you don't want to go there with the little things, or, you know, you want to engage as much as you can, talking with the audience, with the presenter, but also with the people at home. Engage. You know, that's, I think, is the most important thing. You know, when every time you do an audition or you happen that you have a chance to go on TV, remember three important things. Quick and to the point. Engage with the audience in studio and engage with the audience at home. And be, you know, yourself, you know, use that moment to show who you really are, and make sure that that moment will serve you in doing more shows and, you know, and raise your, you know, your fee, which is the end, the goal of doing TV.
That's great. And how was the, and obviously a lot of the TV appearances that you've done have been very different to this. How was your experience on Penn & Teller? Did you enjoy the experience?
I really enjoy it, also because, you know, it was online. It was a little bit different. So it was a really difficult to prepare an engaging routine than online. And I had the opportunity, I remember when the producer called me, they say, oh, look, you can record the routine. So you show the routine that you've done, and then you go in studio talking with them, or you do live, which is a little bit more risky. And being, you know, I've done a lot of TV and stuff. I really didn't care. I said, oh, I want to do live because I want, you know, I want to feel the adrenaline of being live in the studio in Vegas with them on TV. And, you know, if you screw, you screw it. You know, there is no way you can save yourself. But I say, let's do it. And, but my idea was, okay, how can I be there even if I'm not there? So we had idea again, we are brainstorming with the producers, say, oh, why we don't create actual puppets of me. In the beginning it was a puppet, and then it was complicated to make stand up because the puppet was going down, right? So we did the actual, you know, cutout of me, and the actual prediction was in the cutout in my pocket, like my prediction was at home. So well, my prediction was here, but also there in the same position. So that was the illumination. So, okay, that's it. And in fact, I did something that nobody has done before in that program for online performances, bringing like a physical things in studio, you know, like a your body double in order to be there, not being there. So yeah. I think that was, and I think it was for me the most important piece, not about, you know, fooling them, because I knew already I was going to fool them, but I wanted to be, you know, able to present a good piece of TV and use that opportunities in a good way. And I think I achieved what I wanted, to be honest.
Oh, sure. 100%. So for anybody who's, of course, obviously they're currently casting for the next season, anybody who's thinking about Penn & Teller Fool Us, what advice would you give them?
Well, I don't think you need to go there with the aim to fool Penn & Teller, because yeah, it's fun. You know, of course, if you fool them, it's great. You know, it's a fantastic thing. You get the trophy, wonderful thing. But I think most importantly, you need to go there with the idea to have a good piece of TV to use as advertisement for yourself. I have almost 100,000 views in a few weeks already on YouTube with that video alone. So it, honestly, I'm doing shows online in the States thanks to that TV show. You know, the people start to book me from America doing online shows. So just think about this. You know, prepare a fantastic act that is good to push your persona, your personality, you know, entertaining. Because remember, there is people is watching on TV. Normal people too. So you want to entertain also the people at home, because otherwise it become like magic for magician. You know what I mean, Craig, with that? You know, it's just then a challenge. But if you can blend the two, maybe you go with a great idea, can maybe fool them. But remember, do something that entertain people and the people enjoy to watch. For example, recently I watched one magician that actually fooled them. It was doing a kind of Russian roulette with a plate, metal plate. It was kind of, you know, kind of, you know, the how you call it, the spike routine. But in this case, it was going in the eye. It was fun to watch. It was kind of, you know, it was tensing and stuff. He fooled them. So he actually did exactly right. He blend very good method with a very entertaining routine. So that's what you need to think, I think, for if you want to go on Fool Us.
Wow. Again, really good advice. I want to ask you one last question.
Yeah.
Which I ask a lot of my guests, but it's especially pertinent to you, which is, what's next? Because you have achieved so much throughout your career. And let's make no bones about it. Most mentalists, if you said to them, when you retire, you can have achieved what you have at this point in your career, they would be more than happy. And yet, you know, best-selling products, best-selling books, TV appearances, performing all over the world, highly respected, top of your game. You've done so much. But I also know that you're very driven and you're very ambitious. Is there anything left on your magical bucket list that you want to achieve in the coming weeks, months, and years? What goals and aspirations do you have moving forward in this wonderful community?
You see, in Italy we say, gli esami non finiscono mai. It means the exams never ends. So I think the beauty of this job is the fact that you challenge yourself all the time. So you never need to think that you achieved anything, because otherwise, you know, what you do? You know, the beauty of our job is that we always wanted to achieve more and share as much as we can, give more. You know, I think when you start to go in this idea, you know, how much I can give to the people or with my performances, with my releases, with my ideas, how much I can contribute to the mentalist community. It's a kind of if you see this as a putting a little signature in the magic world that will stays forever, even when you're not anymore here. So I think this is important. You want to kind of achieve that kind of immortality, if you want to call it like this, you know, sharing as much as you can and bringing your game always to the top. So I personally have many, many other goals in having my own TV shows and in doing, you know, in sharing more ideas, in writing more books, and give also more to the mentalist community, you know, in different ways. You know, for example, what I wanted to do is to use my group on Facebook, Luca Volpe Mentalism Productions. And what I did during the pandemic with my friend Renato and stuff was to actually create the first online mentalism convention. And that was an incredible thing that I think it will stay in the history, but not because I've done it, because it was the help of everybody. We call the famous mentalists in the world, from Banachek, Richard Osterlin, I just literally called them and said, look, we are doing this for all the people at home that they cannot work, they're stuck at home, they're bored. What we can give to them? For free. We didn't get any money. Of course, the people say, look, you know, I say, look, advertise everything you want, you know, your products, whatever. And we had, I think, about 30,000 people connected from all around the world. 24 hours of mentalism nonstop. It was mind-blowing. The support we had from the great mentalists in the world. But it was amazing. And that started all the actual lecture that you see now online, the other mentalism convention or magic convention online, everything started from that. I can tell you that there was, I think, maybe the first one mentalism convention ever done online. And then, of course, other things come up after that. But that was for me a given. You know, it wasn't for me like an ego thing to say, oh, I want to be. I honestly did. I literally wake up in the morning. I say, Renato, we have to do something because we need to help all the people in the magic and mentalism community. What we do? Boom. That's it. The first, you know, the mentalism online convention. The group now is populated by 4,000 people on there, 4,000 people on Mentalism News, active people. You know, every week I do my humble reviews. I'm not crazy like yours, you know, like you do. But, you know, Breakfast Mentalism, we do, we have done many free lectures, some interview with it. And by the way, this, I tell you, we're going to do a live interview, me and you, in my group very soon. So be prepared.
Okay. Anytime.
Great. And so, you know, we share as much as we can with people and stuff. We have this coffee. It's called Coffee Time Mentalism, you know, and that's when I want to invite you. In the afternoon, we have coffee and conversation with people in the magic and mentalism community. And so, you know, we try to keep the group alive where and the people, you know, keep, you know, and engaging people and giving as much as we can. So I think my goal is to keep giving and keep be, you know, on top of the game as much as I can. And especially I want to be happy. You know, I want to have peace of mind that, you know, that's, I think, is the most important thing. You know, it's not much to achieve success or thing, but having peace of mind, which I think is the most precious things that we can have. So this can come from many things, you know, from relationships, you know, money-wise and everything. You know, when you have peace of mind, then you can say, okay, that's it. I reached what I want and now I want to give. And that's, I think, is the most important thing.
Absolutely. And you know what, Luca? You've always struck me as somebody who's got a lot of integrity and also somebody who really cares about magic and mentalism and the industry as a whole. And that's just come across in volumes on this interview, how much you actually care about the community.
Thank you, man. Thank you. And again, it's because I try to be in other people clothes, you know, and I say, okay, what I'm missing, what I really want. So I try to put, you know, and do things and put things in place that I want normally, and I want to share this with people. And I think people get the idea now because we're really trying to do it. In fact, sometimes me and others say, oh, what we can do? And we even did what's in my mentalism bags. And I ask people to share, you know, their bags with the mentalism stuff in it, just to do things that the people enjoy anyway.
That's fantastic. That's awesome. That is really, really cool.
Thank you.
I'm going to wrap this interview up because I know you've got a show to go to. I'm going to ask you one last question and we'll wrap the whole thing up. The final question I'm going to ask you, you know, you mentioned there about putting a virtual mentalism convention on. And I know that later on, one of the reasons I have to wrap this interview up is you're doing two or three corporate virtual shows.
Yes.
Can I just ask a question about your virtual performances? Because when the pandemic hit, some people diversified into virtuals. Other people said, oh, I'm not going to touch it with a barge pole. As things have opened up, I've noticed some performers have moved away from virtuals and they've just focused on live entertainment. Mm-hmm. Other people have tried to keep their foot in the door with virtual performances and are offering both live and virtual. Yes. Sort of. And that's something that you're doing. And do you think that's an important thing for a full-time professional to do, to be able to offer that virtual? Do you think that it's going to stay as an option for corporates and people for a long time to come?
Absolutely, yes. And I tell you why. Look, I've been one of the first mentalists, I think, in Italy, to actually have the title and the poster of the show before actually having the show, because I knew that this was going to rock. And I've done, until today, I think 122 online shows with big companies, you know, Amazon, you know, Pfizer, many, many big companies. Now, I think what stays, and I tell you why, because first of all, it's a very valid option for any corporate meeting, because meeting, they always been done, even before the pandemic, not only live, but also online. Because of course, if you have people in Japan, in Australia, wherever, you can all invite in one place, in UK, for example. So you have to do meeting online. And most of the time, these meetings are quite boring because, you know, the people stay for hours talking about business. So they discovered that adding that 30, 45 minutes show inside of it, it was kind of break a little bit that flow, that boring flow and stuff. So that is one of the options. Another thing that I noticed, for example, the show I'm going to do after our interview is a birthday. It's a private birthday, a private birthday, and I have a corporate later. But this is a birthday, you know, a family. They want to enjoy a show in their home. It's a kind of, if you think about it, it's a luxury because you actually have a performer on demand coming in your home. You're maybe in your pajamas, okay, with popcorn or whatever, and you are engaging live with a performer. It's a private performer for you. And this is something that you cannot do live. Also, if you want to do live, how much will it cost to call a physical, you know, performer and comes to your house? Imagine all the expenses. Now, for a fraction of the price, you can have the luxury to have the performer in your home working for you, for your family. And this is quite cool if you think about it. And yeah, it's not only during the pandemic. How many times before the pandemic, maybe we're at home, bored, with our family, friends, eating the pizza that we call at home, watching a movie? No, now I can call a performer and he can do the show for us and we can be entertained live in the house. So think about it. You can connect the computer to a big screen, you're done. You have in your living room like a full live show. So these are options that will stay 100% because anyway, people have invested also in technology. After the pandemic, it's not that people take the camera, they throw out of the balcony. You know, all the switching and stuff and TV and computer. People have invested in this, performers have invested. So keep your investment on. My page now on my website not only have the live show, I also advertise my online show for meeting, online meeting, live show, private parties. Why not? You know, it's a fantastic option, not only you as a performer, they will bring more money, of course, also for the people. Because again, you know, it's a very luxury thing if you think about it, you know. Plus, you can make the experience even bigger. I know my good friend, Dan White. Dan is a very successful magician, you know, worldwide famous magician. He did this show with, you know, the magician with Theory 11. And he moved that show online. That is a fantastic and successful magic show. If you haven't seen it, make sure you see because it will blow your mind. Keith Berry, my good friend. Keith, he has an incredible successful online show. You know, and people really love it. You know, there is people that even if they go out, they just take one night, they pay the tickets and they want to see the show. Why not? I think it's a very good question.
I don't know what you're finding over in Italy, but over here in the UK, we're having a lot of corporates that are organizing hybrid events.
Yes, exactly.
Some people live, but people streaming from all over the world, and they're wanting virtual entertainers to come on the big screen at the event, but also to be streamed to everybody all over the world as well. So, yeah, I absolutely...
Yeah, in February, I have some hybrid event in Milano, where, you know, there's this big screen, green screen studio with 10 people there. I think it's the CEO of the company and some other assistants. And then the rest is all connected online. So, and again, big TV studio and production, video production studio, that now they have these huge rooms where they do hybrid event. And the people actually love it, you know, and you can enhance your experience sending people home boxes. You know, you can create your luxury magic box and send to people at home and the people can engage with you. You know, you can have, I don't know, deck of cards or pendulums or whatever it is. So it makes all the experience even bigger, you know, so why not?
Wonderful. And you know what, Luca, like I said before, I know you're busy. I'm gonna call this interview to an end, but this is an incredible interview. It really has been.
Thank you, my friend. Thank you.
If people want to buy your products, where can they go? I'm going to put the URL down in the description.
Okay, so all my books are on the Lulu page. Just go lulu.com/spotlight/Luca Volpe. And then, of course, for all the magic props, we have some specific ones on psychic mentality with Paul McGuy. And then all the rest of the worldwide released one, you can find to your favorite magic shop, because they're all distributed by Murphy Magic Supply. So you can find everywhere you want in your, you know, best and closest magic supply.
And you spoke about your Facebook group, which is a really vibrant group where everything's popping. What can people search for on Facebook in order to get to that group?
Luca Volpe Mentalism Productions. You just go there, you will find it. Make sure you answer the questions, okay? Because I know there are some sneaky ones that they are not magician or mentalism. And that's one important thing. I really protect mentalism. You know, I don't like to do reviews, especially from mentalism, on, you know, on YouTube. I know you do, you know, your reviews on YouTube, but you know, I think magic is a little bit different from mentalism. You know, mentalism is, I want to keep the secrecy, especially because there are methods that are so important that, you know, magic, you have a like a table that does something, we know it, fine. You know, even now in advertising, you can actually see how it works. But there are some specific things in mentalism which they have to be hidden. You know, they must be there, nobody needs to know about it. So I try to keep everything hidden. In fact, we talk about methods in the groups when we do interview. For example, when I interview people, you know, we openly talk about methods. And I know there's people that are sneaky, they try to go in. So I say, oh, answer the question and you will go in. So I'm checking on you, okay?
But they're fairly easy questions to answer, to be honest.
Yeah, very, very easy questions. But again, you know, I'm Italian, so I control everything. Okay.
That's amazing. And finally, if people want to follow you on Instagram, Luca, are you on Instagram?
Yes, Luca Volpe Official. That's my Instagram. And actually, it's quite cool because there are a lot of videos and picture optical illusions. It's quite nice. And then, of course, Twitter and the website is lucavolpe.com. That's it. And from there, you can go everywhere.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing. Luca, I wish you every success. Not that you need it, because I know that you will continue to be hugely successful at anything.
Thank you. Can do.
Guys,
it's been a pleasure. By the way, this has been a fantastic interview. Thank you very much, Craig. I really love what you're doing, and I really admire you, because you have an incredible determination in creating content for YouTube. You know, I would like to be a little bit like you. That was one of the things I want to do. I want to create more videos for YouTube because I have so many things to share, but I have no time. But you take this really seriously, really well, and I wish you all the best to you or to your son, because I think he will become a very good magician. So
I'm hoping. Well done. Thank you. Thank you so much, Luca. It's a real pleasure. And I want people to leave a comment down below. Let Luca know what you think of the interview. He will read it. And please go and support this gentleman. Please, if you haven't already done so, buy his stuff, because honestly, you are one of the most honest, sincere, trustworthy people that I know in this community. And, you know, magic and mentalism is only the better for having you in it. So,
thank you very much, my friend. Thank you.
Time. Thank you very much, guys. I hope you enjoyed the interview. I will be back again tomorrow with another few videos, so make sure that you check out Magic TV then. On behalf of Luca, we'll see you again. Thanks very much. Take care.
Ciao. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the Talk Magic Podcast.
Magic.
Be sure to like and subscribe to the Magic TV YouTube channel.
Magic TV.
Which includes 14 unique videos every week. Whatever type of magic you're interested in, we've got you covered. Just search YouTube for Craig Petty's Magic TV, or click on the link in the description from this podcast below. Be sure to join us next Friday at 5 p.m. right here for another Talk Magic podcast.